Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the question I had, of course, of Philip Mantle here is about contemporaneous accounts, stuff that you can trace back to 1973, not remembered years later. What about it?
Yeah, absolutely, because some of the witnesses that start off in the book were from 1973. They were right after the incident happened. That's Jerry Booth. He's one of them. And he was interviewed at the time, both in the newspaper and on television. So we have a couple of stills of him, pinched from that. So he was, you know, right away. And so were others, you know. But we have to look how long is too far away from the incident before your testimony becomes, in inverted commas, invalid. The reason I asked that, because, you know, we found out that Sheriff Fred Diamond had a UFO sighting 2 days afterwards. And we found that in the newspaper. There was Officer William Gennaro. He had a sighting about 5 days later, but he didn't report it to NICAP until 1976, so 3 years after the event. And then, of course, in 1981, a colleague of ours, whom I didn't know at the time, when Calvin's book came out, we were contacted by a Greek researcher called Stephanos Panagiotakis. And in 1981, he was in the Greek Merchant Navy as a radio operator, and they docked in Pascagoula. But he was also a UFO researcher. And he set off, I think they docked there for a week. So he set off to get an interview with Charlie Hickson, which he did. And he had it on tape. He went to the police station and they advised him to go and speak to a gentleman called Pastor Emmanuel Sigalas. And they gave him his address. So he literally turned up, knocked on the door. And the pastor was of Greek descent anyway, so that helped. Now, on that night of October the 11th, 1973, the pastor, along with Don Broadhurst of the Police Probation Service, and a young church volunteer, a young lady, were driving to a church-sponsored event that was to help people with alcohol problems. And they're driving out of Pascagoula, and it's the young lady in the back of the car sees this thing coming, and it come right across the front of them, literally. Right across the road in front of them. And Spiros interviewed him. He transcribed the interview with Mr. Sigalas, took photos with him. But it took us a while, and a colleague helped us. Who was this lady in the back of the car? Sigalas and Broadus had passed away, but we got their transcript pretty much nailed down from Stephanos. I started looking for her, and we found her name, and it was Joanne Hallmark. She'd been in Pascagoula for only a short time. I think she worked at one of the schools. And I found a few social media accounts that were well out of date. They hadn't been used for a long time. So I left it, went back about a year or so later, and had another look at these social media accounts, and there was a church mentioned in it. And I simply Googled the church, and lo and behold, there was such a place. This church had a website, and on this website were a couple of sermons that you could listen to. And they were done by somebody called Hallmark, the same name as this lady. So I'm thinking, is this her son? Is it her husband? You know? So it had a general email address, so I emailed them, said I was looking for this lady. She worked in Pascagoula and did not mention UFOs. A few weeks later, she replied, yes, I did work with Pastor Sigalas out in Pascagoula in 1973. And then I had to tell her what I was interested in, so I tell her. And she come back to us. Irina, you interviewed Mrs. Hallmark out in Maryland. She's living now.
Yeah, She remembered it real well in detail. She was driving in the car and saw, she was the first person that saw it, and said, this looks strange. It was kind of cylindrical or something. It just didn't fit into anything she'd seen before. And so the rest of them looked at it, and they didn't know either. And so she remembered it quite well.
Well, there's one thing I want to change tack here with now, gentlemen, when we're on about contemporary evidence from the time. Now, when I linked up with Calvin Parker, I said to him, have you got any photographs, any documents? Nothing. It had all gone in Hurricane Katrina. So one of my jobs was to set about and see what I could find. I contacted the Center for UFO Studies because it opened in 1973. Heineck had been there. They sent me a file, PDF file. In the middle of this PDF file is a one-page typewritten document stated October the 13th, 1973. And it actually asks both Parker and Nixon to disrobe down to their underwear. And they're given a check. They say they find, in inverted commas, puncture wounds on Charlie's arm, on his arm, his forearm, on Calvin's foot. Now, Charlie reported that these creatures, when they grabbed him, he felt this prick. And, of course, Calvin said while he was inside this thing, took his shoes and socks off and stuck something under his foot and it hurt. And I thought, this is fascinating. It mentioned some photographs, but there were no photos found anywhere. So I thanked Matt Rodiger at QSOS for sending me this stuff. About a year, maybe later, I got an email out of the blue from Mark. He said, "Hiya, Philip. I've been searching through some files today for something else. I wasn't looking for these. I assume you've got them, but I thought I'd send them anyway." And it was the photographs to go with that document. So you see these minor injuries on Charlie Hickson's forearm and on Calvin Parker's foot. And I said to Calvin, who did the examination of you, he said it was Dr. James Harder. And he took the photographs. And so that's right from October the 13th. It's 2 days afterwards. So we have a physical element to it. We also spoke to the police dispatcher who was on duty that night, and he's the one that took Charlie's call, by the way. He said he took over 50 reports of UFOs on the phone that night, and there were police people in the police station, you know, reporting it in person. Unfortunately, that police station took the force of a hurricane in 1979, I believe it was. That was the end of any of the records there. But, you know, so these are all things that were contemporary. We have the secret tape. We have the interview at Keesler Air Force Base the very next day. And everybody who was there is named, you know. Everybody's on it. And so I've had this question before. When does testimony that's a few years down the line, when do you draw the line? You know, when is it no longer acceptable? Is it after 1 year? After 10 years? Is it after 20 years? Is it after 50 years? You know, because there was a project here done a few years back that set out to interview the last remaining soldiers that fought in World War One, because they were all but gone and their testimony would be lost forever. So they, you know, and so I kind of look upon me and Arena as doing that same kind of thing. Although this is not a war, we're trying to document everybody's testimony as best we can and preserve it for posterity. And we've been like two little Yorkshire Terriers, you know, especially Irina. She's a little Ohio Terrier. Once she gets going, she won't let go. But it's not for our book. You know, the book was never an idea. It just kind of materialized. It's to preserve what Calvin asked me to do, his legacy. He wanted to find out as much as he could. And I spoke to Calvin a week before he died. I told him he was respected. I told him I loved him as a friend. And I told him that we would carry the torch for him. And that's exactly what we are still doing.
The book is called Beyond Reasonable Doubt. It's about the Pascagoula abduction and all this follow-up material with Philip and Irina And Gene and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Continuing with Philip and Irina, trying to figure out all the stories around the Pascagoula, Mississippi UFO abduction from 1973. I remember that year well, where things were quiet on the UFO front. Then I started seeing stuff on the wire service about sightings every which way. Quite fascinating. You mentioned the tape recordings, Philip. Are these things that you could digitize and make available?
They are digitized, yes, and they will be made available next year. Next year will probably be the last book I ever write. And it is, again, about Pascagoula, but it concentrates purely on the hypnosis transcripts. Currently, they're spread across 4 or 5 different books. So what I'm preparing to do is put them all in one publication. Won't be a huge rate tome. I signed up with Darcy Weir to do a documentary about it. But then what I also want to do is to do the audiobook version. And rather than have someone narrate them, I will just say, here's the original recordings. You might need to boost the sound on a couple of them, you know. And make them completely available on an audiobook. You know, again, unedited. Apart from the bit where the hypnosis takes you under the, puts you under the hypnotic trance or whatever you want to call it and brings you out, because that's dreadfully boring. But start from where the transcript starts and go through. We tell the backstory, of course, you know, because we have to be, because not everybody knows as much as we do, so they might pick that book up for that's the first book they've ever read about Pascagoula. So we have to tell them a bit of the backstory and use some visuals as well, but it will be only on the hypnosis transcripts, you know, and so you'll be able to hear them all as well, as simple as that. They'll all be there. And in the documentary, what I'm pretty sure we're going to do is, because the last two hypnosis sessions with Calvin and Maria Blair were recorded on video. I hired a professional cameraman, so we'll see some footage of that as well as audio. And we've just had Maria go on camera for an ordinary interview. No hypnosis, just sat there, tell us what happens, you know, we'll have a chat about it, which we didn't have before, and we'll preserve that for posterity as well, guys, you know, because what I'm going to do, the last thing on my list is the items that now reside with Eddie Hickson. If we will loan them to us, if they're just boxes of pictures with his dad and the kids, you know, it's all important. We'll digitize them. We'll see what's on the videos, and if it's worth, we'll digitize them. I'm going to put them all on 2 separate hard drives. One will go to Irina. Another will be deposited at the National UFO Historical Records Center in Albuquerque. And they will then be preserved for posterity. And any updates we can send to Albuquerque and say, put this on the drive. Any updates, I can just do the same with Irina, you know. So it's not all residing here with me. And they'll be kept then forever.
Going through the book, you and Dr. Scott, I mean, you've come across just some really fascinating accounts of UFO sightings around the very same period. And there's one that really stands out to me, and that is the encounters with Hugh Jenkins of Hazelhurst, Mississippi, who didn't just have one UFO encounter. He had a number.
I think it's 5 in total, Mr. Jenkins, and it's same with the question we were asked, did they have any drawings? Well, Mr. Jenkins, I think he got his daughter to do 5 drawings. They don't always come across in the book because it's great because they're in colour, but the book is produced in black and white, so you lose a bit of the contrast on it. But he had 5 sightings, you know, around the same time, and he's documented them all. And what is interesting, of course, we interviewed Mr. Jenkins a few years back, and then when the documentary come on board, I was reading Mr. Jenkins' original contact with us, and he said he would speak to us, but he did not want to appear on television. So I asked him, would you go on the documentary? And he says yes. So, you know, in that time period, he had a change of heart as well. Because, again, he's getting to that age where if I don't do this now, I probably won't get the opportunity again, you know. And we're very grateful for it. And I think in the documentary, they interviewed around about 13 or 14 people for the documentary. That's including Calvin, Eddie Hickson and Waynette. Parker. So there's a good dozen of the other witnesses. Sadly, Mrs. Blair wasn't available at the time. So she's not in the new documentary, but she'll certainly be in the one next year, all being well. So they've got a nice collection of things that nobody will have seen before. They've got a lot of visuals. We've also been saving archive material that we've located. For example, on October the 12th, so this is the day after, there's a journalist whose name I lose, but he comes to Pascagoula looking for Charlie and Calvin. And of course, they're at the Singing River Hospital, which is the day after. So who do they get to interview? Sheriff Fred Diamond. A nice interview with Sheriff Fred Diamond. He tells them everything that's going off. So we have that, so I transcribed it, put it in the book. Because it's, as Gene was saying, this is as it happened, right at the time. And you can play it, of course, if you find it online, but it's there as well. And we've packed the book with as many pictures and photographs, old and new. You know, we have to remember most of Calvin's stuff was lost in Hurricane Katrina. Newspaper articles from the time and some a bit nearer to now as well. But, you know, other things went on that we do have the documentation from the time period. And that was the thing seen under the water, the USO, just a couple of weeks later. And we have it all documented, and one of those involved interviewed and on the record. Simple as that.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that particular the case, the USO? Because I actually remember it made newspaper articles.
Absolutely.
I guess in association with what had happened a few weeks earlier.
Yeah. So I think it was November the 6th. There were three little skiffs went out. They were fishing at night. I think it was two families, so there was nine people, and they were in the same stretch of water where Charlie and Calvin had been fishing, but just a bit further out, and they encountered this thing under the water. It was circular, it was illuminated, they got so close to it, they could hit it with an oar, and it went clunk.
Let us break here, and we'll learn about the thing. The circular thing in the water, okay? With Philip and Irina and Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Update. The war in Israel continues with word negotiations continue with Hamas terrorists to free 229 Israeli hostages kidnapped back on October 7th as terrorists slaughtered 1,400 Jews at a festival and at a kibbutz. The new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, speaking in Las Vegas Saturday night, telling members of the Republican Jewish Coalition,
"There will be a ceasefire only when Hamas ceases to be a threat to Israel."
to politics now.
I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today.
Former Vice President Mike Pence dropping out of the race for president. In other news, Matthew Perry, who starred in the TV show Friends, has died at the age of 54. Police in Los Angeles say he drowned in the jacuzzi at his house following a two-hour game of pickleball. Laura Winters, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Return with us now to 1973. I'm doing that voice again. Philip Mantle telling us about the circular thing in the water. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I say, one of the boats got close enough with an oar and hit it, and it went clunk. The lights went out. They would appear somewhere else. And they played cat and mouse around the area with it. So they decided to go and report it in person to the Coast Guard. There was a Coast Guard station there. They went. The Coast Guard sent out a boat. They too saw it. They too hit it with a boat. And guess what? It still went clunk. Now, we have all the official documents from this incident, no redactions, so everybody's named in it. We even have a handwritten letter by one of the lifeboat crew to a UFO researcher. And one of my colleagues said, "You do know that all those witnesses," I think he said the following day, were interviewed on tape, and it does say in these documents that there was a tape, but they were also lined up on the quayside and a photograph taken of them in colour. So, I mean, he said, "I think so and so's got a copy of that." So I emailed so and so, "Yeah, I've got a copy, Philip," and sent us it. And there they all are. And what's good is on the back of the photograph is each person's name and their age. So we use social media, we put that on social media. And within literally a couple of hours, a lady had contacted me and said, "I know them all, Philip, and they're all deceased apart from one." And I think he was some kind of in-law. I said, again, they explained what we wanted to do. Can we speak to him? Yep. His name was Earl Ryan. And then over to my colleague, Irina Scott. Irina, you interviewed Earl Ryan, did you not?
Yes, I did. He was 16 at the time, and he was with his father, and they were the first people that saw it. And he said that they couldn't figure out what it was, and his father was sort of poking around, and then he hit it with the oar, and it had a metallic sound, so they thought it was metallic. He described it as looking down at a parachute, as round, and he thought the light came from underneath, and it was sort of yellowish, because he said that was because it was coming through the water. Well, they and the other people tried to figure out what it was, and nobody could figure out. They hadn't seen anything like it. So after a while, he and his father decided to go to some authorities, and so they went to the Coast Guard station, which took a while, and the Coast Guard officers came out in a bigger boat or ship, and they tried to figure out what it was. And so these were the authorities that the Coast Guard should know. And they hit it, and also it sounded metallic. And one of the Coast Guard people later wrote and said that the light was strange from it, because he said that when they held an oar out over it, that the oar didn't make a shadow. It was like the light just went right through the oar. And sometimes the light would be dim. Sometimes if they bothered, the thing, the light would go out. But sometimes it was really bright, too. And they had no idea what it was. The Coast Guard had no idea what it was. But the Coast Guard took it very seriously. And he remembered exactly where it was. He said he could take me out to it right then if I were there. It was very close to where the abduction took place. And what was interesting was is the abduction wasn't taken seriously, but the Coast Guard, the USO, was taken very seriously, and there were all kinds of people that interviewed him and everything else. And people also mentioned that in the shipbuilding there, that they were making nuclear submarines, I think. And that was secret from the public, and that came out too. And you'd think that would make people take the abductions account more seriously too, because of they always say that UFOs seem to pay attention to nuclear facilities and nuclear things. So that was interesting too. And he remembered it quite well. And this was thoroughly investigated and taken seriously. There were newspapers that mocked it and everything. But in general, the authorities and the government took it seriously. And that's sort of like today when they're talking about UFOs, the Tic Tac object and all that. It was investigated actually by the Navy rather than the Air Force. And the Air Force had been investigating things for years and saying there's nothing to it, everybody's insane. Well, back then, there were USOs, and like with the Tic Tac object and all that today, the thing went down the water. And the same thing with this other thing. He actually said that when the Blairs, finished their episode, that they saw these things swimming across the water. And said there may be some link between the USO and the UFO. And the Pascagoula area made the national news twice within a month because of the two sightings. So there were some interesting parallels with today. And with the authorities taking part of it seriously and not taking the other part seriously, when they should have taken both seriously, I think.
One of the other things that I remember from the Pascagoula incident, you know, and the attention that got afterwards, that there were some critics who said that, oh, it was all just a hoax, because supposedly, and I'm paraphrasing here from memory, there were surveillance cameras on the nearby bridge that supposedly were looking out over the area, and they didn't see anything. But again, I have to question, what were the quality of surveillance cameras in 1973?
Yeah, I spoke to Calvin about this, and he said when the police went up there, one of the guys, the operators, it's a toll bridge, he was asleep. And the cameras didn't point out to the river. because they were monitoring the traffic on the bridge. So why would they be pointing out into the river? And what Calvin did for me, because obviously I've never been in the area, I said, can you go over the bridge and photograph from the bridge the area where you were sitting that night? And he said, it's not easy to do, you know, because although it's close to the bridge, it's in an awkward position. You have to know where you're looking to see it. And this was just funny. So Calvin said, yeah, I'll do that for you. So he took some photos and get there in the right, the bridge, you know, the pier has long since gone. It's all been tidied up now. It was a bit of a dump at the time. And there is someone sat under a blue umbrella fishing at the exact same spot, you know. So it's even being used today. But it's not an obvious place to be looking if you sat on the bridge wondering what the traffic's going to be coming up and down. And I have a newspaper cutting, and the bridge tender said, indeed, I saw nothing. You know, simple as that. But, you know, that doesn't surprise me because I've investigated other sightings where other local people said, well, I didn't see anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's not unusual. It's not untypical for somebody to be sat there and you think, well, he must have seen it. And guess what? No, he didn't. And that happens in, we'll call it a crime. That happens in all crimes, you know. The guy at the bus stop, did you see that? No, I never saw anything, you know. And this is exactly the same because I've worked night shifts. You know, my record, my night shift when I worked in a factory, I started at 7 p.m. and I finished at 7 a.m. the following morning. My record of going into work and starting at 7 o'clock for falling asleep was 3 minutes past 7. That's I lasted 3 minutes only. My two children had me up during the day, so I got no sleep. And as soon as I got there on the night shift, I was out cold.
We'll be out cold if we don't do this break. Believe me. Philip, Irina, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
Was the Paragast?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. www.ufoencyclopedia.com immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So this is the final segment of our main show featuring Philip Mantle, Dr. Irina Scott, talking about their new book, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Pascagoula Alien Abduction, about a lot of cases also that occurred around the same time. And we'll also be back, both will also be back for our After the Paracast podcast, where we probe into these things further. Philip, I cut you off because we had to do a cold break or a hard break, depending on what kind of break you want. Go ahead, please.
The bridge tenders were interviewed and said, look, you know, I didn't see anything. You know, that in itself doesn't mean that something didn't go off. You know, like I said, from the bridge where the location was, whilst it's not an out-of-the-way location, from the bridge it's a little bit awkward to see it. You know, the better vantage ground were from where Mr. Lee was across the other side of the river and the Blairs, because they got all a wide, there's nothing in front of them, it's just the river. It's no big deal, you know. I mean, we also obtained the full research file, and I use the word research loosely, from the late Philip J. Class's archives, because he looked into it. And when you look at his so-called research, Calvin had gone by this time. He's just trying to find some dirt on Charlie. That's all he's trying to do. You can read it. He thinks, well, Charlie's got monetary problems. You know, so, okay, he's got monetary problems, he's going to dream up something like this. What, he never made a dime? No, he'd just go down the bank, get another loan, or remortgage the house, or whatever. But he couldn't find any. He couldn't find any bud that he could make stick, simply because there wasn't any. Charlie wasn't the greatest financial advisor, shall I say, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a little story about that Calvin told me. He said, Charlie asked him, I don't know where this was or what year it was, to attend this TV place. Not to go on camera, but just to meet up. And he said, I'm going on television with a scientist. So he said, oh, great, yeah. And he said, it's been arranged by a journalist and we'll have some dinner later. So he said, okay. So he goes along to this TV studio and there's been a fallout. You know, it's now not going to happen. So Calvin's bewildered. So this journalist says, look, guy, let's go across the road for some food and we'll see if we can sort it out. So Calvin says, by the time we get over there, Charlie and this scientist aren't even talking to each other. Of course, it wasn't a scientist. It was Philip Class. The journalist asks Philip Class, who had refused to go on television with Charlie Hickson, and he said, why did you refuse? He says, because Mr. Hickson is lying. Of course, Calvin sat there, and he thinks, well, if you're calling him a liar, you're calling me a liar at the same time, because we're bolting this together. So I won't use the exact words that Calvin used, but Calvin let it be known to Philip Klass that if he ever called him a liar again, he would really regret it. And Calvin said, we both went home on the airplane that night with no dinner. Basically, he said, I'll punch your lights out. You ever call me, I don't care, he said, if you don't believe me, or if you don't believe Charlie, that's fine. You can believe what you want, but you ever call me a liar again. It's a more colourful Mississippi language, shall I say. I'll punch your lights out. And when you read through the Klass file, which is on Calvin's website, by the way, we put it on there, there's no attempt at any investigation whatsoever. So there you go.
But I don't think that there was ever a case that Phil Klass investigated that he didn't think that the witnesses were all lying.
Yeah. Well, if he couldn't figure it out in one go, then it had to be a hoax. You know, that was his modus operandi.
Well, he always presented himself as a scientist, too, and he'd say, well, this is a scientific point of view. Well, he wasn't a scientist. He was a writer. But he would always insinuate that he was a scientist and that this was a logical thing, which wasn't true.
Yep. There you go. That's just another little side issue that happened. Forget the witnesses for a while. Just forget them for a while. We found out that this case had made its way into popular culture. For example, Fleetwood Mac, I think it was 1976, released a song called Hypnotized. And it's partly based on the Charlie and Calvin encounter. Rai, the film company, TV company Rai, R-A-I, in Italy, made a two-part television movie about it called Extra. And I said to Calvin, do you know anything about this? He knew nothing. I have a copy of it here. I can't understand a word, of course, but it's all in Italian. I have an Italian friend that tells me it's very good. And when Calvin's first book came out, two local guys, Johnny Cobb, Johnny McCoy, wrote a song about it, Blackwater Blue Moon. A Scandinavian artist did a techno track that uses a sample of Calvin Parker talking on it. And literally, just as we speak, there's been two gentlemen produced two brand new songs for the 50th anniversary. I can't remember the names, but the two songs are very, very different. I'm very good.
Kind of piece of information here. The version of Fleetwood Mac that had this song Hypnotized was the one before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined the band.
Yes, so correct.
Christine McVie was there. Bob Welch was there.
Yeah.
Bob Wesson was there. But the people who made that band into a multiple million-dollar success hadn't joined yet. But the song's still worth listening to. A lot of bands have done UFO kind of songs.
Yeah. One of my favorites, Creedence Clearwater Revival, did one. You know,
yes.
Not their best. Yeah, it's okay. I wrote a story about a British band called Hot Chocolate. They did a story, and it's called, No Doubt About It, and it's about a flying saucer landing. And Bert's, it's based on a true encounter. Not theirs. It was the gentleman who wrote the song who had the encounter, and Hot Chocolate recorded it. So they're not the first, no.
Philip, Irina, we're about to wrap up, and you'll both be back for the After the Paracast podcast. But let's get this moving here. If anyone wants to know how to find the things you do and so many things that you do, Philip, where do we go?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm easy to find. You can also punch in flyingdiscpress.com, disc with a K. I have a little blog, so you can find everything, all the latest books that are coming out and latest interviews and things like that. Irina, your website is?
Yeah, I'm on Wiki and irinascott.com, which is written with Irina Scott, one word. I'm also on Wikipedia under my name, Irina Scott.
So if we want to find either of you, it's very easy. And Philip, by the way, we get a mailing from him at least a couple of times a week about the latest books that he's published. And as you listeners to the Paracast know, many of those authors have been on the Paracast at least once.
Yeah, I'm pretty grateful for it, gentlemen.
And we'll send you the bill tomorrow. Okay, very good. Just to let our listeners know once again that the book is Beyond Reasonable Doubt, The Pascagoula Alien Abduction, It's over 400 pages of material. So there's a lot to go through, and great writing from Philip and from Irina. You can find us if you check out X, not Marx the Spock, X, like used to be Twitter, and Threads, and also Facebook. You just have to look for the Paracast. Also, we offer branded merchandise for the show. We have four separate logos with Paracast on them. Pick the one you want. Pick the item you want, like a T-shirt. And that's it. Pick the size. By the way, the T-shirts are available for small people and very, very large people, too. So you'll find what you want. Go to theparacast.store or theparacast.shop. We also offer the Paracast Plus, a streaming service, special membership prices. You get this show without the network ads with better quality audio, plus the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, which often contains extended discussions like we'll have with Philip Mantle and Irina Scott for this weekend. To learn more, go to theparacast.plus. And by the way, if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount for a 5-year subscription or a lifetime subscription to Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. Irina Scott, Philip Mantle, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.